a leadership can lead you towards your dreams. You know, I share people as like leadership is ability to transform, you know, your vision into reality. I recognize, okay, here's a target that I want. I'm going to have to lead myself to go hit it. And guess what? Along the way, there's some other people who want to jump on, you know, the train also and go along with me. So eventually I just became, you know, known as being this leader, of which a lot of people thought that I was always outgoing. And they learned that, oh, wait, this guy was quiet and shy, and recognized, like, okay, it was an evolution to go from that middle school question to where I am now.
Welcome back to the Technology Equals Equality podcast. I'm your host, Lori Brooks, and this is Empowering Entrepreneurial Leaders Through Public Speaking with Frank Kitchen. Frank Kitchen is a keynote speaker and coach. He works with organizations and entrepreneurial leaders who want to break through mental and physical barriers and live a dream they hunger for. Frank's motivational speeches and coaching programs teach audiences how to transform their vision into reality. In this episode, Frank shares his journey from what he thought he would be when he was a child to the moment he realized he was born for the stage. Listen in as Frank and I discuss leadership, public speaking, and so much more.
Frank, welcome, and thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Lori. Great to be here.
Certainly. It's great to have you. I'm super excited to dive into your practice and your public speaking. But before we do, I want to rewind the clock just a bit. Let's go back to the days of junior high and high school, when an elder would ask you what it is you thought life was going to be like when you got older. What was the answer to that question? What did you think your future was going to be?
The future, when I was in middle school, I was thinking either MBA career or astronaut. those two don't really match up, but that's what I was thinking.
You were thinking MBA, astronaut. Where did public speaking come from? How did that evolve as something that became a part of your future?
Yeah, public speaking is just more of an evolution or growth that I had as an individual, personally and professionally, because I grew up in a military family and we traveled a lot. And so I was kind of quiet, shy, reserved. But as I got into high school and college, I started to go into leadership positions, which forced me to have to speak in public. Mm-hmm. And from there, got into the professional world, of which once again, had to be in the public eye. And as a case of like, well, hey, I see these as my goals, my big dream. In order to hit those, I really need to learn, appreciate, and just really elevate my ability to speak in public.
Do you feel like throughout the traveling, throughout your childhood, because I understand that you know, did a lot of traveling, grew up in many different areas, including Germany and parts of Asia. So I understand that you had quite a bit of, you know, that traveling side with being a military family. Do you feel that contributed towards your need to enroll or participate in the leadership programs that you did eventually begin doing?
Yes. I mean, I watched my mom, watched my dad. They took different leadership positions. And it's one of those cases where we will tell people, like, out of sight, out of mind. So in the case of me, it was insight in mind. So watching them or the mentors or people they put in my life saying, hey, you know what? When you want something, you really have to go for it. You have to lead. And then that led me into leadership positions, which essentially allowed me to bring out what I had internally, you know, externally. So it was inside, but I didn't necessarily have the confidence at first. But once you get around the right people and you see how, quote, I know this is what your podcast is about, how leadership can lead you towards your dreams. You know, I share people as like leadership is ability to transform, you know, your vision into reality. I recognize, okay, here's a target that I want. I'm going to have to lead myself to go hit it. And guess what? Along the way, there's some other people who want to jump on, you know, the train also and go along with me. So eventually I just became, you know, known as being this leader, of which a lot of people thought that I was always outgoing. And they learned, like, oh, wait, this guy was quiet and shy, and recognized, like, okay, it was an evolution to go from that middle school question to where I am now.
And from what I understand, the people you surround yourself, which is extremely important on this journey, had a lot to do with sparking that transition for you. So share a little bit about that.
So the best story I can share with you is this one. I was working in leadership development at a college outside of Cleveland, Ohio. And essentially, I was working with various student leaders and asking them what you asked me earlier, like, you know, what's your big dream? Whether it be to get a degree, get a job, what they wanted to do, get an apartment. And I was always pushing them and challenging them, saying, let's put the plan together, let's put a recipe together, let's work. So it became Frank's the guy to go to. But eventually what happened was one day, one of those students came to me, his name is Damon, and he goes, Frank, you challenge us to live our dreams. What are you doing to live yours? And they knew I loved to train and work with people, and they'd see me start to do a little bit of the speaking on the side. So my students, every opportunity, whether it means speaking for something there at the college, like, oh, Frank can do it, or saying, hey, you need to step out and turn this into a career. It was my students, the ones who I was mentoring, who came back to mentor and push me.
I love that story. That's why I was hoping you would share it. I think that's one of those really awesome stories, because I always talk about how important it is to surround yourself with the right people, the people that are going to push you to really be the best person that you can be. And that doesn't always mean your elders. Sometimes it does mean the people that you're actually mentoring. And I've witnessed that in other ways, but I thought that that story was outstanding. So I'm thankful that you were able to share it here. What do you feel were some of the biggest hiccups that you experienced, you know, as you began taking those first steps to becoming a public speaker? What do you feel were some of the hardest things that you encountered?
Well, the biggest hiccups are, as I said earlier, you know, the students challenged me. And many times, you know, whether I speak in public or, you know, I'm a professional speaker, is the fact of we don't take our own advice. So the biggest hiccup was not to take my own advice. So when I first started out, I fell flat on my face. Because I'd spent years booking speakers. I was training my students how to speak in public. And when it's my turn to go and do it, oh, I don't need to do that. I can do it my way. You know, oh, wait. Hey, make sure you're surrounding yourself with a good group of people. Make sure you get a good network. I can do this all myself. So the biggest hiccup was not taking my advice. And when I did, you know, quote, fall flat on my face, and I'm sure we'll talk about that here in a little bit, the biggest was to go back and realize, okay, step outside of my body. Reflect on it's like, okay, I have to hire myself as my first client, you know, for the people I coach. And I realized I wasn't doing everything I was coaching and mentoring other people on. That was the big hiccup was me. I was the roadblock. I was the barrier.
And what do you feel like that moment was where you feel that you fell flat on your face and you became that roadblock?
Well, there's several, but the main one is that most people hear me speak on is the fact of I kept saying I'm going to be this full-time professional speaker. And I was talking it, but I really wasn't truly living it. And I was working various jobs because I left my college career to go start my speaking job. But I didn't, you know, really appreciate the honor it is to go speak in public. Mm-hmm. And I got lazy. And I had to work various 9-to-5 jobs to, you know, keep the lights on and the bills and try to help out that way. And I kept telling myself, okay, I'm going to leave at the right time. I'm going to leave at the right time. And for me, I told people God stepped in. It was Father's Day weekend, 2015. I was going in for a work lunch meeting, and I was expecting to get a promotion, get some new responsibilities. And in the meeting, got lunch bought for me. I'm sitting at the table, and people have seen this one before. That envelope comes across the table, and there's a little envelope with a folder inside, and it goes, hey, this isn't working, and we're going to have to let you go. Mm-hmm. Now, that's sad enough, you know, about, you know, being, you know, 5-6 years ago. But the other fact was it was Father's Day weekend. I had a 2-year-old, and my wife was 6.5 months pregnant. And we also have to go to my father-in-law's to celebrate Father's Day with him. So now I've got to explain, okay, there's a grandchild on the way. I don't have a job. You know, your wife, your daughter, you know, she's not working because she's pregnant. And I've got this big dream to become a public speaker. That was, you know, pretty much, you know, if you want to call it, you know, rock bottom there, just going, okay, how do you take care of this family? Because it's one thing when it's just you. It's another when you've got other people who are, you know, looking up to you to be, you know, one of the leaders of the household, you know, to help bring in an income, to help take care of them. And here you are going, okay, I've got nothing. And how am I going to provide for this group? So, I mean, that's falling on your face.
Definitely. No, I completely understand. And what do you do at that point? And what is that pivot that you take? And how do you move forward from that moment? What do you feel were some of the things that really helped you move out of that moment, have that sound presence of mind and stamina to actually begin moving forward with the career?
Well, the big one was we went to New Mexico that weekend, and I had to sit down and explain to my father-in-law what's going on. And during this process, I've been speaking professionally, you know, part-time for about 6 or 7 years, but I'd never, you know, hit it because I wasn't putting the effort. I was waiting. I was trying to, you know, serve two masters, and you can't do that. So I wasn't fully committed. And my wife looked at me and she goes, well, hey, I had arranged for a speaker showcase at a conference in their town that weekend. And I was like, okay, I'm going to go here. I'm going to knock it out the park. And she goes, well, why don't you take my dad with you? He's never seen you speak before. So, you know, there's some, you know, trepidation there because like, okay, what's he going to say? He used to be a marketing guy and, you know, he just heard my whole story. He's going to probably be. So I go to do the showcase, a couple hundred people in the room. I'm looking at him the whole time and when it's over, he's just nodding his head and he's smiling and he's talking to people. And we end up going back to his house that night. And I brought a couple friends who are speakers who are there too. And he just looks at me and he goes, you know what? This is what you're born to do. What can I do to help you out? So I spent so much time worried about what he would think. But once I got his approval, that just like set, you know, the piece down. And my wife goes, okay. And I go, hey, I was like, let me give me 1 year to fully commit to this. And like, if it doesn't work in 1 year, it means it wasn't meant to be. So I had my wife's backing. I got my father-in-law's backing. We talked about the network earlier. I wasn't ashamed now. I reached out to all my friends and I started to that day apply what I've been teaching everybody. So I reached out to my friends and go, hey, I'm out of work, you know, but I want to be the speaker. And the funny thing was once I got rid of all these mental barriers that have been holding me back and just said, okay, let's go for it. Friends called it like, oh, will you come speak here for us? How about we this? And I put together like a 1 week speaking tour just because I didn't have to worry about trying to come back forth on vacation time and all that. So the case was realized, and I share this on stage with a lot of people, was my mental barriers were becoming physical barriers. And once I removed those mental barriers, it's amazing the proper people, proper environments, proper situations that I just drew to myself and exposed myself to because now I could see them. Before I had the blinders on, and once I got rid of that, everything was an opportunity. So I didn't see barriers anymore, I just saw opportunities.
Definitely. In fact, that's what I call perceived reality inspires successful minds. It's the prison method that I use with some of my clients, but that's exactly what happens. It's when you're capable of changing that mindset, capable of taking that pivot mentally and having that clarity behind you, it becomes this complete change in your journey and your ability to recognize, okay, this is where I'm truly going, have the confidence to begin taking those steps, and you witness doors opening that you didn't actually recognize even existed prior. So please, Frank, tell us about your practice. Tell us all about your public speaking.
Okay, so my practice is, you know, my company is Frank Kitchen Enterprises, and quite simply what I share with people, if you want to call the pitch, is I empower entrepreneurial leaders to break through barriers and live the dreams they hunger for. Now, what that means is, we can inspire the thing, but I provide keynote speaking and coaching for either entrepreneurs or various leaders. And these leaders may be leaders who are student leaders, high school and college. They could be association leaders. They could be business leaders. They can be nonprofit leaders. What I teach resonates with all age levels. And those are groups that I have worked with. But when I say entrepreneurial leaders, it's how you and I are, Lori. We're willing to invest our own personal time and resources to create the dreams that we want to live. And I share it because of my story is we all have dreams, but there's only certain dreams we hunger for. Mm-hmm. That weekend for me was, boom, I've got to take care of my family. Now I'm hungry. And it's amazing how motivated we get when we're hungry. For you, with the Crohn's and the health and taking care of your family, you probably talked about it for a long time, but it's amazing what happens when we get hungry. So for my practice, that's what I work for first, is I want to see if the people have a hunger. And then I go, okay, well, what's the big dream? What's the big vision? So on stage, what I do is, you know, I share, quote, a recipe on what we can do to take any big dream into reality. So I tell people, you don't have to be a speaker, but we all have something big. For me, it's a speaker. So I teach people the process of what I went through. They want to replicate my success. But then off stage, as far as my coaching, I work with leaders who want to improve their public speaking. So I work with salespeople and leaders to, you know, who have to be in the public eye. So I work with them on how to be more comfortable and confident as speakers. And they know I can connect with them because I went from quiet and shy to in front of thousands. But then on the same point, I have aspiring professional speakers and entrepreneurs who not only want to be public speakers, but they want to monetize their expertise and knowledge. So my whole practice now essentially is sharing my journey on stage as a speaker, my journey of being fired and starting a business. And then off stage is teaching people how to replicate me becoming a speaker and me becoming a professional speaker.
Helping others to be able to create their own dreams. It's outstanding. And that's what I think is one of the best parts of the entrepreneurial community that I've seen. Prior to becoming an entrepreneur, you realistically don't think about the entrepreneurial community. But then when you enter it, you recognize there are so many people with so many big hearts, and truly entrepreneurs are just trying to help others. So if you had the opportunity to go back, say, 10 to 15 years, or even to December of 2019, and tell yourself just one thing, what do you think that one thing would have been?
December of 2019, or even back in the past, I would say the big one is just to, at that point, is you know, follow your passions. You know, you and I prior, you know, similar, we grew up in that age where it's like, you have to go to school and you have to get a job. We want you to be a doctor or a lawyer, you know, something like that. Where we're in this world now, especially like you said, with entrepreneurship, is whatever your passion is, you can turn that into something that you can, you know, quote, monetize. I'm not saying it's all about the money, but, you know, we got to take care of ourselves. But where you're going to have this satisfaction as far as career or, quote, work-life balance, because you're doing something that you want. You know, we've all worked these different jobs where I would go in and it was just like, okay, I'm going in, I'm punching the clock, I'm leaving, I'm heading home. And there's no drive there, but that's what we were taught. So for me, recognizing what I know now, if I could go back and talk to myself, I recognized when I was younger, I did bump into some of these entrepreneurs, but I didn't think that it was for me. And I didn't take the time to truly understand it. And if I could go back, recognizing, you know, I got involved with student leadership and student organizations, those groups were essentially, you know, incubators. We had a Black student union, we had a radio station, newspaper, student government, and all these groups were, okay, the dream is, or your goal or mission is to do X. And now you got to put together your resources, your time to make it happen. And, you know, now I know this as being older, but I excelled at that, being able to give my input, my ideas to help transform my dream or someone else's into reality. So that would be the big piece for me to go back is just going, hey, you know what? You've got a passion for this. And I recognize now, talking to my wife, was there were people in my life who noticed this and spoke to me about it, but I covered my ears. So that'd be the big piece. Like, hey, listen around to people. You know, even had my one neighbor goes, hey, Frank, guess what? He's like, you're not going to be a basketball player, but he's like, you've got creative. You're knowledgeable. He's like, you know, you can stay out here and shoot all night. Cause I had like the light that stayed on until midnight and I'd be out there going. He's like, but you haven't even made your basketball team. Like, so how are you going to, and recognize, okay, those people weren't telling me, you know, anything wrong. They're actually people in my life who are saying, well, we know what your big goals and dreams are. And, you know, they're not going to sugarcoat it for you and say, hey, here's the best opportunity. He's like, hey, you're smart. You've got good grades. You connect with people. You should. And I'm like, wow. It's like, Charlie was right on. This is back in high school.
It's very easy to hear those around you without truly, truly listening to what it is you should be taking out of it. That is a very good one. Thank you for sharing. The show is really designed to help entrepreneurs come up with an idea for a business in an industry that they may not have been thinking of. And public speaking is not something that we have come through the show on a regular basis. So operationally, we're curious. If you could wave a magic wand and change anything at all in your practice right now, what would it be and why? And how do you feel it would affect the public speaking industry?
Okay, well, the big one right now is something that we all go through, and I'm in the process of, you know, improving on it right now, is we all have that solopreneurship disease. The idea is this is a business. This is, as you said, you know, the income generator. And when I talk to people who want to become public speakers, I go, hey, 20% of what you'll do is be public speaking. The other 80% is the business side of it. I go, if I think of myself, quote, just as a public speaker, all I'm thinking about is how to do the speeches. As I think of myself as a professional speaker and a business owner, which means one of my services and products is me speaking. Mm-hmm. But then also I have books, I have coaching, I have, you know, so I have to think of it as a business. Mm-hmm. And the big piece is, as you're asking the question, was to definitely get that business or entrepreneurship training to understand that concept, because many of us say we're going to go off and start our own practice and we're like, oh, I am so good at this. And it's like, well, that means you're just going to be working in your business. And you just created another 9-to-5. You're going to be working.
Right.
The piece that I'm working is, like, my wife wants to be trained. You know, we've got a VA that we work with now, and it's to recognize is to delegate some of that work out. My CPA, he goes, hey, Frank, I could go mow my lawn, but he's like, theoretically, he's like, if I make $200 per hour and it costs me $20 an hour to have the lawn mowed, he goes, and I should pay $20 for the lawn to be mowed, because guess what? He's like, I'm still $180 in the profit. But he goes, mm-hmm. If I go mow the lawn, he goes, I'm $220 in the red because I lost my $200 plus, you know, there's like the 20 there. So, and when that got shared with me, it was like, whoa. So with my practice, I recognized, okay, I'm good at speaking. I need to be the person on the calls, making the phone calls and closing the deals. But some of the other minor stuff, as far as putting stuff in the database or, you know, right now doing web design, that stuff needs to be find an expert and, you know, invest and pay. And the case is make investments. Don't make purchases, make investments. So my CPA person is an investment. My CRM is an investment. My, you know, website person, investment, marketing people, investment, VA to help out with certain pieces, that's investments. And it allows me to focus on the higher, you know, ROI items. if I'm trying to do all these items that are, you know, quote, $10 an hour work, then I'm losing.
Exactly. Really making sure that you're in the business mindset, making sure that you're managing your practice as a business owner and not the solopreneur manner. I totally follow you. I think there are way too many of us entrepreneurs who are guilty of exactly that, having that solopreneur mindset. You really need to learn how to delegate in order to dominate. And there's no way to do that without focusing on working on your business versus in it. I call it wino mode, where you're working in and not on, and we work on becoming boss mode, where you're building out operations to support your success as a business owner. So I hear you loud and clear.
I love
Frank, you've been outstanding. I truly enjoyed having you on the show. I thank you. Thank you for joining us. Please share the best way for our listeners to find you.
Okay, well, the best way for people to find me is frankkitchen.com. So my last name is easy to spell, just like the room. So it's going to be Frank, kitchen spelled just like the room.com. You can also just look for Frank Kitchen on any social media platform. So we're talking Clubhouse, we're talking Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn. Look up Frank Kitchen. There's only one of me. You'll find me and we'll connect and be more than happy to talk with any of your listeners.
Excellent.
Frank, thank you again for sharing your time, energy, and wisdom with the techie community. And thank you guys for joining us here for Empowering Entrepreneurial Leaders Through Public Speaking. If you're enjoying the show, don't forget to subscribe, like, and share. Until our next episode, when we continue to hear the journey, find the pain, and create solutions. Enjoy the week.